Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, and welcome to another Hebraic Journey through the Bible broadcast. Of course, most of you know my name is John Wesley, and for the next 30 minutes, I will be one of your co-hosts. I'm, of course, a Messianic pastor or rabbi, and our quest here is to unravel the Hebraic truths that are hidden deep within the New Testament scriptures of our faith. Now, these Hebraic truths, of course, are designed to answer perplexing questions that tend to hinder our spiritual relationship with our Heavenly Father and our Savior, Yeshua, Jesus. Now, at this time, I have the distinct honor to also introduce the cohort, the other slice or the other half of this radio event that we are doing here as far as Ask the Messianic Rabbi, and that is Minister Tanita Jones.
Hello, and thank you, Rabbi, for the introduction. I just want to say I'm glad to be a co-host of this show with you. It's a blessing to share the truth of the Word of God. And just for those of you that need to know, this is our 12th show, and I will hand it back over to you for prayer, Rabbi.
All right. Thank you. Well, Father, first of all, I thank you, and I'm honored that you have chosen us for such a time as this, and you've chosen us for such an audience as this. And with that being said, Father, I ask forgiveness for any sin that I have committed, any sin of iniquity, of transgression, or what in the Hebrew is called kata, which is just unforeknown sin, unintentional sin. Sin that I was unaware of, but that I still did and still violated your relationship and your covenant with us and with me. Father, I thank you for giving me the strength also to forgive those who have sinned against me, who have caused iniquity and transgression against me and my family. Father, I thank you that you give me the ability to cancel those assignments, to cancel any curses, any negativity that has been spoken or implied upon me and upon my family pertaining to my chiastic structure, the purpose and the reason for you even allowing me to be born here on the earth. So, Father, with that, we ask that your Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit, come and just fill the airways. Take control of this particular session and this teaching. Help us to see the fullness of the understanding of the question that has been posed pertaining to the origin of Passover and how to observe it as New Testament believers. Father, we honor you. Yeshua, we thank you for your redemptive work that doesn't just affect us today, but affects us every day. Holy Spirit, have your way in this teaching and in this show, and allow us to be able through this to glorify our Father in heaven. In Yahshua's name I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. Before we get started, what I'd love to do, especially for those of you who last week may not have had the opportunity to tune in and to really follow along with where we were and what we were building up to, I would appreciate it if Minister Tanita would at this time go ahead and give a kind of a quick synopsis or an overview of what was covered thus far before we actually launch into some more spiritual meat, if you will. Okay?
Okay. Amen. Thank you, Rabbi. So the question was about Passover. What is it? How is it observed? Why is it important? And so in the last show, we were talking about two celebrations or feasts that are celebrated. The first one was Purim, and the origin of that, as well as Passover, both occurred from a sin of disobedience. In the case of Purim, it was 500 years later, and Passover was 430 years later. Now, the scripture reference for Purim, which is dealing with Queen Esther, is 1 Samuel 15, verses 7 through 9. And then with Passover, we were looking at Genesis chapter 15, and that was with Abram.
Amen. Amen.
To you, Rabbi.
Hallelujah. Very well done. And for those of you that are just notating and just kind of keeping track of what we've talked about before, King Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 7 through 9, was the one that disobeyed the prophet Samuel, who had given the word from the Lord to him to destroy all of the Amalekites and all of their belongings, their cattle, their sheep, you know, the children, everything. And, of course, we know by the story that that did not happen. He spared the king, and as history has it, he spared the king and the king's handmaiden or queen who was impregnated with their child. And that's how that lineage was able to come back approximately 500 years later to haunt the children of God, especially those that were under the kingdom of the Persians and the Medes. So it's imperative that we understand the connection, because that connection also affects us today. When I say it affects us, I before we jump into the origin of Passover, I want to make sure that we culminate a scripture, that we really put it up on the shelf so that it can be seen, it can be digested by us, and that we can ensure each day that we don't fall prey to this particular system that will work against us. And that is in Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34, and we're just going to read basically one passage of Scripture, but I will connect 6 with 7. But the passage is in the B part of 7. The latter part of verse 7 is what I want to make sure that the listeners are really being attentive to. And the reason for this is because whether we like it or not, mm-hmm. whether we understand it or not, it's like gravity. It works for or against us depending upon how we are using it. So whether you have an issue with it or not, it is best that before you cast judgment on the aspect of whether or not it is relevant, that you continue to apply it in its positive light until you get a full understanding of whether or not it actually is correct. Because if you don't, I promise you that the adversary will always utilize what is about to be read to you in a negative light. And not just to you, but to your all the way down to your third and fourth generation.
Amen.
So if Minister Tanita can read verse starting with verse 6 of chapter 34 of Exodus, and then culminate that with verse 7, and then and like I said, for those that are listening, that latter part works for or against you whether you like it or not. We're going to teach you as the Holy Spirit teaches us so that you can use this, especially during Passover, so that you can use this to your benefit and not to your deficit. Amen?
Amen. Amen. And so Exodus chapter 34, verses 67, and I'm reading the New King James Version, and it reads as follows.
Ma'am.
And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping
mercy
for thousands.
Stop for just a second, and I apologize. What is happening here, because I normally give you what is happening, but what is happening here is that the Lord God, our Father in heaven, is teaching Moses how to intercede for the children of Israel. Now, not only is he teaching them how to intercede for the children of Israel, he's teaching them the pattern for intercession, period. The pattern for intercession, period. Now, we have jumped to the latter part of this teaching so that we could just focus on what is relevant for us for pertaining to the question of the origin of Passover. But I don't want you to miss the fact that this is a one-on-one teaching early in the morning where the Father God is teaching him and allowing him to understand exactly how to entreat the Father into a situation where the individual that you are interceding for is not worthy to be saved.
Wow.
But because of your relationship with him,
yeah,
that he will submit to that and submit to walking in a redemptive mode, if you will, to help that individual. Okay? So that's what's happening right here. Right here, the angel of the Lord, if you will, okay, is showing Moses exactly what he needs to do and how he needs to present himself in order for the Father to come in and the Holy Spirit to do what is necessary. Okay, continue to read.
Okay, verse 7. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation.
Now, where I want to pick this up is at the very latter part, which is what I would call the B part of verse 7, where he says, not forgiving iniquity of the fathers all the way to the fourth generation. Now, that is important for us, and we've got to own that information right now, because we're going to carry that information throughout and the concepts of that information throughout this particular broadcast. Throughout this broadcast, you're going to see how this particular information that you're reading here affects Abraham's disobedience. I'm going to say that again. This particular passage echoes what God says he will do if the fathers walk in disobedience and don't repent and get it right before him. Now, once it's right before him, then the slate becomes clean again. But when in his presence, if you do not get it right, then it affects your children's children's children.
Right.
In other words, it allows Hasatan to have the right to begin to affect their chiastic structure, affect their purpose, affect why they were ever born, to bring calamity, to bring all of these types of demonic things upon them. So even though, yes, we're still talking about and we're going to answer the question that has been posed pertaining to the origin of Passover, but I would be remiss if I did not show you all of the spiritual rich nuggets that we have to receive and understand and apply to our own lives today through that one question.
Yes.
Amen? So let's also bring in another concept that's also a part of Torah, before we actually go back into Genesis chapter 15. So what we're going to do is we're going to go into Leviticus chapter 9, and we're going to read verses 1 through 3. That's Leviticus chapter 9. And we're going to read verses 1, 2, and 3. And when we get there, one of the things that you're going to realize very quickly is the fact that this is the book that is specific for the priesthood. The Levitical the Levitical priesthood had specific guidelines, rules, and commandments that they needed to do, not just for themselves, but for all of Israel, for all of the children of Israel. They were responsible, okay? They were responsible for the redemptive acts that would be done when a sinful act was committed by either themselves and or the children of Israel.
Yeah.
They were the ones that the Father looked upon and gave a tremendous amount of responsibility just based upon their birth, just based upon the fact that they were in the generational line,
mm-hmm.
and especially if they were in Aaron's lineage.
That's right.
So what we're going to see here is we're going to see a breakdown. We're going to see a breakdown. And that breakdown is a breakdown of exactly what happens, okay, when the priest has sinned, and exactly what type of offering or sin offering is given, specifics towards this sin offering, if it is interrelated to and with the children of Israel. And this was an ongoing, continual offering that was always given. Always giving a sin offering of, let's say, for example, a bull for the individual that is interceding, being the priest. Always giving a goat and a ram for, and especially in this particular case, a goat for the children of Israel. And they would break it down even further depending upon the individual themselves who, for whatever reason, didn't have the financial ability to have a goat, let's say. So the Lord would open up opportunities for them to give a turtle dove or to give a pigeon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just because they were easily, readily available and easy to be caught, and would not suffer loss as much as they would if they used their livestock. So as Minister Tanita gets ready to read this, I want you to understand that you will never find a situation where the Father would ask you to sacrifice something if you didn't sin. If you had not sinned upon yourself, either by ancestral transfer or by your self-imposed act of disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So we're going to go over this. Then we're going to, at that time, go back, or after that time, go back into Genesis chapter 15 and begin to really codify some of the rich nuggets of Abraham's disobedience. Okay? Could you read, please?
Okay. Yes. Leviticus chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. It came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. And he said to Aaron, take for yourself a young bull as a sin offering and a ram as a burnt offering without blemish, and offer them before the Lord. And to the children of Israel you shall speak, saying, take a kid of the goat as a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb both in the first year without blemish as a burnt offering.
So here you have it. He spells it out very clearly. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now let's see how this interrelates with Abraham. We'll go back to Genesis chapter 15. And we're going to read through verses 1 through 7 kind of quickly, although I'm going to make one or two points before we go into, for those that are taking notes, before we go into Genesis chapter 15, verse 8 through 16. That's going to be our main focus for today, okay? That's going to be the main focus before we actually close our broadcast. But I want to make sure that we ramp up, for those of you that didn't get a chance to hear it last week, ramp up, And just kind of tweak just a little bit of the rich nuggets that we had talked about in verses 1 through 7. Then we're going to go in and just really begin to tenderize the spiritual meat of verses 8 through 16. Okay?
Okay.
Mr. Cheney, if you'd read 1 through 7, and I will be interjecting a couple of times, just so you're aware.
Sure. Yes. Okay, New King James Version, Genesis 15, starting at verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus? Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now towards heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness.
Stop there for a second. Okay. Sorry about that. So in the very beginning, we noticed a few things, and I'll say this real quick, and then we'll continue on. First of all, we noticed that Abraham was in a fearful state.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the very first thing that the Father God, when he began to speak to Abraham, that's the very first thing that he pointed out, because that fearfulness would hinder the manifestation of the blessings that the Father had promised to give him. Okay? I'm going to say that real quick again. The fear of it not coming to pass will hinder not only Abraham, but will hinder any of our promised blessings from God.
Amen.
So just in the same manner that God dealt with that fear first, we have to deal and allow the Holy Spirit to deal with that fear first. Now, after that, what you see here is this, is you see that God immediately, after exposing, after bringing it up to the surface, he immediately started to repair the lack of faith that once was there that caused Abraham in chapter 12 to leave his family, to leave his country, and to go to a place that God had promised. His faith was high at that point. But this is an extremely low place. So what he did, he being the Father, allowed him to see it for what it was, see the lack thereof, and then brought him out to the stars and began to immediately build his faith. So now his faith is built up to where he's about to launch out into receiving what the Father has already promised and was ready to give him. So in verse 6, he accepts it. The Father sees that his faith is built up to the point to where he will be obedient.
Yes.
And so the Father deposits within his faith bank the blessing of righteousness. Now, Abraham is at a glorious state, but Abraham at this point is at a very dangerous state of being, because his faith is at its highest level. When your faith is at its highest level, that's when it's imperative that you watch the words that you say.
Yeah.
Zechariah didn't have a child. Angel of the Lord, the particular angel in that case was Gabriel, appears to Zechariah. There's no, when an angel of the Lord, and it's an assignment of God, of course, appears to you, there's no room for doubt at that point.
That's true. But
think about it. There is no room for doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So at that point, it is imperative that you watch what you say. And in order for Zechariah not to mess it up at the highest level of faith that he was at once the angel appeared and gave him the information, Zechariah was about to abort. He was about to have an abortion based upon his verbiage. John the Baptist was about to be aborted because he was at his highest level of faith. And at that highest level of faith, he began to question. Doubt came. He began to question how these things could be. And at that very point was the point at which Gabriel said, you will be deaf until this happens. You will not speak Why? Because you have the ability and probably the probability of aborting your own child. So you will not be given the power of life and death because your mindset is already geared to where it's going to destroy this child. How does that interrelate with Abraham? Glad you asked that question. Now we're going to go ahead and finish verse 7 and go into verse 8 through 16. And what you're going to see in these verses, verses 8 through 16, is you're going to see that at first, at the highest level of faith that the Father had infused in Abraham, Abraham receives and believes about the child being born in his old age and in Sarah's old age, or Sarai's old age. Mm-hmm. Okay, she had went past the age of childbearing.
Yeah.
But he has believed for both him and her.
Amen.
He's covering, by his faith, he's covering himself and he's covering his wife.
That's
who
right.
was not
Amen.
There, was not in the conversation, mm-hmm. did not have this mm-hmm. visitation from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So God immediately, bam, he gives him the scepter of righteousness. Now that you're at the highest level of faith, Abram, you and us, because what goes for him being the father of faith goes to us as well. Once you are at the highest level of faith, you must watch your mouth so that you won't do what Zechariah had the propensity of doing, and that is abort the blessing that Yah is ready to give you.
Yeah.
After Abram doubts, Abram doubted to the point of sin. The Father made Abram get sacrifices. And I want you to pay attention to when Minister Tinian reads this, pay attention to the sacrifices that were given. Remember what we said. God will not mandate you to give a sacrifice for a sin that you have not committed.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Where's the proof, mm-hmm. Rabbi? I'm glad you asked. The proof is in verses 1 through 6. 1 through 6, Abraham believes God. God didn't say, okay, give me a sacrifice, and then
That's
I'll
right.
apply righteousness to you, did he? No.
No. No.
But the moment that Abraham was at the highest level of faith, Abraham sinned. And God said, you bring me sacrifices. Then God had to leave his presence because God's presence will destroy sin and the individual that is sinning. So God left his presence. And then what happens? What happens is the birds of prey come down on a sacrifice. Now, wait a minute. I thought birds of prey waited until the carcass has been there for a while. That's correct. So you mean to tell me that God actually put Abram in time out and allowed him just to wait? And then the birds of prey came down. They didn't come down immediately. They don't do that. Vultures don't come down immediately. They wait until things are not moving. Now, it looks like we've run out of time. So at the next broadcast, we're going to pick it up right here. Okay? I'm going to pass it to Minister Tanita, and she'll give you more information. I don't think you want to miss this next broadcast because it'll all bring it together. Go ahead.
Amen. Thank you again, Rabbi, and I'm excited about continuing with the origins of Passover. For those of you that are attending, the show is held weekly on Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you have questions that you would like to be addressed on the show, you can email us at tjonesbts@gmail.com. The ministry's name is Beth Hashem Ministries. And the two websites which you can visit, the first one is BethHashem.org, that is B E thhafhem.org. And then we have a Facebook page, and that's located at www.facebook.com/Bethesham Ministries. If you would like to attend the services, you can email us at Bethesham at yahoo.com. That is BETHHASHEM at yahoo.com. Thank you for attending tonight's show. Back over to you, Rabbi.
Shalom, shalom. Thank you so much for that. And Father, we just ask that you begin to infuse the truths of this teaching, not so that we can be more learned, because that's not our desire, because that desire is flawed. Our desire is so that we can walk in the fullness, in the manner in which Abraham did when he was over the high places. You placed him over the high places with his faith. Help us to learn that and understand it and live there, but also help us to understand the low places so that we can protect ourselves and our families all the way down to the fourth generation.
Yes.
So that they and we never go there. Father, we thank you for this. We bless each and every person on the broadcast, and we ask that you just continue to infuse a revelation of understanding. And until next broadcast, shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.